Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, September 29th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
How very kind you've been.
Don't mention it. Joan Price, ageless sexuality advocate and all-around wonderful person, is back with us today for part two of her appearance on the show. She delights us, enriches us, and makes us laugh while dispensing her signature sex wisdom. I'm so glad to have so much of Joan, not just because she's such a joy, but because she's willing to break open a conversation that too many of us tend to avoid. The conversation about sex and aging.
I mean, would you not mention it to anyone? My foolish behavior.
You can count on me for my discretion. But if you're just joining us and somehow missed part one of our conversation that appeared here at this time last week, don't worry. You can find it and all my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the site's search function in the header, type in podcast number 232, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
I've never been so much ashamed of myself in my life. I can't think what came over me.
We all have days like that, don't you know? So Joan invites us to visit her at her website, joanprice.com, and look for her blog at nakedatourage.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this sex wisdom series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear, and gear, right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yes, sirree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts and unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why.
You know how silly people are. Gossiping. Ladies especially, I'm afraid. You understand what I mean?
I sure do. That's why I'm saying. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Joan Price, welcome back to DrDickSexAdvice.com and the Sex Wisdom Podcast Series. I'm so delighted that you have more time to spend with us this week because you wowed us completely last week.
You wowed me.
It's a mutual admiration society,
don't
you know?
That's a nice thing when that happens.
So before we get too far down the line, I want to just say that it's been so exciting visiting with you on your websites, and I've heard from people this past week about what a joy it is to hear some honest and forthright talk about sex and aging and sex and seniors and sex and elders. So thanks for being back with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Let me pick up exactly where we left off last week. We were talking about another workshop. I want to talk about another workshop that you titled Straight Talk About Sex After 60. And this description here reads, yes, sex after 60 has its challenges, but it can also be sizzling and satisfying. We face the challenges and celebrate the joys of older age sexuality. Sharing experiences and learning from one another in the spirit of candor, acceptance, creativity, and humor. Take home new tools, techniques, and attitudes that will help women over 60 experience hot, joyful sex with or without a partner. What are some of the greatest challenges that you talk about in this workshop?
This is the workshop that's for women.
Uh-huh.
And when I call it straight talk, I don't mean straight rather than gay talk.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking out loud and talking without holding back, that kind of straight talk.
Uh-huh.
Its original meaning. I
uh-huh.
don't want to be misinterpreted
right.
there. And what I do there is I facilitate a woman's discussion of what their problems are in having great spicy sex these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at how, what might have happened in their past that sort of led them on this path too. And often we don't do that. We don't look at what I call the sexuality stepping stones
mm-hmm.
through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I take them in a process of their sexuality stepping stones, meaning the important times that made a difference, events or people that
mm-hmm.
made a difference in how they view their sexuality now. And it's often a big surprise to see there's some connection. It wasn't just something that abruptly happened after menopause,
right.
that there
right.
could be something happening before that. Or it could be abrupt. Menopause is usually one of those big stepping stones.
Right.
And so what we look at is some techniques, some strategies, some tools, to use tools in the very concrete sense. I definitely recommend vibrators.
Uh-huh.
And I'll have some of my favorites on hand. Sometimes I give this workshop in a sex shop like Good Vibrations
right.
or
good.
Woman's Touch. And I have the sex toys right there plugged into the wall, and we can see how they work, and I'll talk about
mm-hmm.
how they really help women. And often, even though women are showing up at a sexuality shop, they don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that. And
mm-hmm.
and then I talk about some strategies that often catch them very abruptly, and they say, no, that I don't like that. One of those is to schedule sex. To schedule sex at a time where they're going to have, not the evening, the afternoon.
Oh, good for you.
Because we're better before a meal, not after
mm-hmm.
at our age,
mm-hmm.
for heaven's sakes. Maybe
mm-hmm.
we always were, but we weren't so aware of it.
Right.
Because the hormones were driving our arousal and our reactions
mm-hmm.
and responses.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's not hormones doing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else in us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably too big to even get into here, but there's so many other reasons at our age that we want to have sex, and it may not be hormonally driven.
Right.
And
you know, from a male perspective, having, you know, my hormones not driving me is a
yeah.
wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I'm much more in charge of my sexuality. I feel much more confident and secure about my sexuality. And my sexuality is a whole lot more sensual than it ever was before when my hormones were in the driving seat.
Exactly right. And that's really what I meant when I said last week that for the first time men and women are equally matched. We
yes.
both want the long arousal
yes.
time. We both want a lot of touching.
Yes, yes.
And
yeah.
and so what I recommend is to actually schedule, put in your calendars
mm-hmm.
That say, well, for Robert and me, it was Wednesday afternoon and Saturday afternoon. Those
mm-hmm.
were our love times.
Uh-huh.
And we'd make love dates in our calendars,
right.
put a little red heart, and we'd keep that time sacred for each other.
Yeah. Like we used to do, you know, for family time, you know, like when
yeah,
we needed to do,
you
know, these are, you know, dates and times of the week that, you know, we are going to eat as a family. We're going to, you know, we're going to watch television or play a game as a family. We're going to be together, and this is family time. And so we know how to bracket that kind of stuff off. You know, for others, we find it less easy to do when it's for ourselves, right?
We also knew how to bracket that time when we were young and dating.
Yes, exactly that too.
And so when people object to that, they say, oh, it seems schedule it. It's so not spontaneous. Well, no, it's not spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
But is spontaneous sex really happening for you these days? Chances are it is not.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
just doesn't now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other thing that does is it leaves, I mean, sometimes men blanch at this and they say, 2 to 3 hours in your calendar, I can't go for that long. I'm not asking you to have intercourse for
That's
those
right.
3 hours.
That's
no,
so
this
right.
leaves us time to talk, to go for a walk,
to read erotica together.
To read erotica together, to write erotica together.
That's so true.
Watch a film, whatever mm-hmm. it is, gets us in a mood mm-hmm. to put on some of the love songs from when we were first dating, if it's a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. It gives us time to date each other.
Oh, how grand.
And then to do things, preferably things that have some physicality, mm-hmm. like taking a walk or dancing,
right.
even going to the gym together.
Yes.
Being in touch with our bodies and getting the blood flowing. We'll mm-hmm. get the blood flowing everywhere. We're going to need it later, too. Mm-hmm. And then when we actually come together and get naked, it's magic because mm-hmm. we've already had a couple hours of foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And this harkens back to your original career as a fitness trainer, yes? I mean,
that's
you know,
right. Yes.
you're drawing upon all of your background there.
Well, I'll tell you, when I named my fitness business, I called it Unconventional Moves. And I still keep my business name. Uh-huh. I find that people laugh now uh-huh. that I'm talking about sexuality and I'm using the same business name. But it's all one part. You know, if we're in touch with our bodies, we're in touch with our bodies. If mm-hmm. we need blood flow to the muscles, well, we need blood flow to the genitals too.
That's so true.
And the same things interact. It's just a wonderful, wonderful meeting of body and mind and blood flow.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense that your audience is generally not aware of like the sexual response cycle or how aging and or a disease process or medications are impacting on their sexual response cycle?
No, they're not. And I'm going to get on one of my soapboxes now.
Oh, good. Yay. By all means.
Because their doctors either don't think to tell them,
yes.
thinking they
oh,
don't
my goodness,
care
yeah.
anymore, or the doctors don't know.
Yeah.
My wonderful husband, he had cancer, he had chemo, and after chemo, they sent him home with a folder that was full of everything he could possibly need to know,
mm-hmm.
except
sex
when he could have
intimacy.
Sex again. And we went, wait a minute, it must be in here somewhere. There's everything about what to eat, mm-hmm. what not to eat so you don't get nauseous, how much sleep to get, how this, that. Why is there nothing, nothing, nothing about sexuality?
Well, I'm going to get on that soapbox right with you because, you know, a good portion of the work that I do as a therapist is with sick and dying people. And I've even written a book, The Amateur's Guide to Death and Dying, which I unfortunately have never been able to find a publisher for.
Oh.
It just breaks my heart. But anyhow, the thing is that, you know, I also tried to get like cancer foundations and you know disease-based organizations to fund projects where we would talk about sexuality and even do pattern films, you know, with
mm-hmm.
you know women who have gone through radical mastectomies or ovarian cancer, men with prostate cancer after surgery and stuff like that, and talking about how we integrate our sexuality and even talk about our intimacy needs with our partners after these devastating experiences. And all the people that I wrote to for funding said, oh, what a wonderful idea, and oh, that's such a great thing, and good for you, but we can't fund anything that has to do with sex.
It's
just
getting
breaks
a little
my
better.
Heart.
It's getting a little better because
well,
now
that.
There are sex educators who specialize in sex after a health event,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a euphemism. It just means
no,
it applies to
yes.
heart attacks,
yes, exactly.
cancer, to surgery, to anything that could drastically impact the health to the point that the sex as we knew it doesn't happen anymore. And there are some wonderful sex educators now who work in that field, and some books available finally. And in Naked at Our Age, the new book coming out in April, I have tips from exactly those experts. And also I'm finding that on many of the websites, the official websites for cancer, for heart disease, and so on, they are addressing that finally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know, what we did when we were both out, when Robert and I were outraged that there was nothing there about it, he phoned the euphemistically called infusion center. Isn't that a nice word?
God.
Is that what all the chemo labs call it?
I guess. I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Oh, it just sounds like you'd be serving tea there. But tea in your veins, but no.
But no.
And he said, my wife and I want to know how soon is it safe to have sex? Will I be passing the chemo from my semen into her?
Right, good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
And I'll bet you they didn't have an answer for that because they didn't know.
They actually, they stopped for a moment as if they couldn't believe anyone wanted to know that anyone
right.
after chemo would feel like having sex.
Yeah.
And the point was that it wasn't that he felt like having sex.
Mm-hmm.
It was that he wanted to reaffirm being alive.
That's right.
Having a body that did something
yeah.
other than, I'm just going to start to cry now, betray him with
That's
illness.
Right. That's right.
And after having to submit, and he used that word, I had to submit
mm-hmm.
to these chemo treatments that made him sick, that were poison, but that were poison against the cancer cells, and that actually gave him 2 more years of health. I have
yes.
to say that.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 years together that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
I understand and I hear you, and you know that has been part and parcel of my experience over these many years, and you know I'm so glad that you and I are talking about this, because our audience I'm sure is appreciating it as much as I am.
This is part of talking out loud,
it
Richard.
It is so true,
and the
don't ever stop.
I'm sorry, the chemo center did have an answer, so I don't want to skip that part. Is they seemed to consult each other a little bit
mm-hmm.
and then said it'd probably be fine in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The chemo will be out of your system,
right.
won't affect her.
Yeah.
Until then, if you want to have sex, use condoms.
Right. How interesting.
So this was such useful information,
yeah.
and he said to them, well, put that in that packet you give people then.
Yeah, right. Because if you don't mention it, even if people, you know, 99.9% of people would not be interested, you know, in being sexually intimate with their partner after chemo, the fact that you raise it and acknowledge the fact that we are sexual beings regardless, you know, if we're
yeah.
drawing our last breath. I mean, I know people who are on their deathbed, you know, who were interested, you know, in how do I look? You know, am I still sexy? You know, and
yeah.
still talking about, you know, boy, I could take that dildo that looks like a floor lamp. You know, I mean, it's just, it's an amazing kind of thing. I mean, but if no one raises the issue, if no
yeah.
one even acknowledges that this is operative or possibly available to us, then the sick person or the aging person is not necessarily going to launch into it themselves.
That's right. And they may think, well, I can't really feel that way because people don't. And the partner also, this is so important for the
true.
Partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know, I wasn't going to approach him before he was ready,
yeah.
certainly.
Yeah.
But I was feeling such relief that we were done with that and that his cancer was in
yeah.
remission. And my God, I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do than take this man inside me.
Yes. And you know, and the interesting thing is when I was doing this work here in Seattle with women newly diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and one of the things that you know I used to hear from people all the time is, particularly from the male partners, was you know my natural inclination was to fuck her well with my magic wand, because
mm-hmm.
that's what I do, that's what a
yeah.
guy does, and you know their partners were less inclined for that kind of thing
yeah.
for any number of reasons, for being sore and yeah, exactly. So the thing is that they didn't know how else. They didn't know, you know, that the power of touch, the power of caress, the power of, you know, talking, the power of holding, you know, spooning, all of those kinds of things were probably much more suited to the situation than, you know, intercourse.
Yeah. Isn't it refreshing to talk about these things?
It is, most assuredly.
Oh.
So I'd like to move on briefly. You have another presentation called Ask Me, I'll Tell You. You mentioned this last week. Women and men talk about sex and aging, and the description reads, for many people, sex and aging are two of the hardest topics to talk about. Add the challenges of communication across genders, and it can sometimes seem impossible. In this interactive and fun discussion night, you have a chance to get the answers you're looking for. Joan will guide an evening of conversation and discovery and will help everyone in the room learn from each other, for couples, singles, women, and men. Learning from our peers is a very powerful tool, don't you agree?
It is. And so often, even when we are in a real honest dialogue with the other gender, we want to talk more than we want to listen. Mm-hmm. And so this workshop sets up a strategy, and I don't give too much away
right.
about
good,
the strategy.
Good.
I think it's... Well, I just want people to hire me. Okay, it's my truth. I want to be able to do this with
uh-huh.
you. But what I do is I set up a strategy for women talking to women first about what they really wish men would tell them truthfully,
mm-hmm.
and men doing the same thing in their group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have it set up where I collect what they have said they wanted to know,
mm-hmm.
and I have all the men talking to each other with the women listening and not permitted to speak,
right.
addressing the questions that came up from the women, and then we do the other way around.
No kidding. That's
and then we
marvelous.
Talk as a big group. And I'll tell you, the hair on my arms is standing up just mm-hmm. thinking about the times mm-hmm. we've done this, and it has been so important. I don't know what to say other than that, because people actually found they could discuss things
mm-hmm.
as long as they knew no one was going to interrupt them and ask for clarification
right.
or defend a point of view.
Right.
And it was so revealing
mm-hmm.
to both genders to listen to the other gender and to be forced to be quiet while the other gender was talking.
That's so true. You know, I do a lot of that kind of stuff in my own practice, particularly with couples counseling and stuff, and giving them structured exercises in which how to talk, you know, forming a
yes.
dyad, and, you know, you talk first, uninterrupted, you talk second, uninterrupted, and then
yes.
have maybe a few moments to discuss the process, not what the two of you talked about, because you don't want to rehash that. You just want to give opportunities to be honest. And, you know, given, you know, the opportunity to be honest with one's partner, there's less likelihood that we're going to pull our punches, but we're also going to take some care in not bludgeoning our partner to death with information that might be hurtful.
That's true. And just knowing you won't be interrupted
yes.
Is almost magic.
Yeah.
And so I think what you teach your clients and what I teach my workshop attendees then gets taken back to the bedroom or to the
yeah.
dining room table.
Yeah. And that's probably what you meant, you know, early on about take-home tools.
Yes, indeed.
Good. Thank you very much.
That's
I appreciate
right.
that. Good. So one final offering that you have listed on your site is Let's Talk About Exercise and Sex. You offer a presentation called Lose Your Love Handles and Liven Up Your Love Life. The
yep.
blurb about this one reads, Exercise and Good Sex, what a team. They're both mood boosters, energizers, and they're good for you. Best of all, they enhance each other. Joan shares practical tips for integrating exercise into the busiest lifestyle and specific exercises to pump up the love muscles of women as well as men. How brilliant. Can you give us an example of one of these or some of these tips and what an exercise might be?
Well, first of all, any exercise that either raises your heart rate or
mm-hmm.
works your muscles will send blood flow to the genitals
mm-hmm.
and to the brain
mm-hmm.
as well as to the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important
mm-hmm.
Because that will make us feel more sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, working out together, if that's an option, is a very sexy form of foreplay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lover at one time in my life whom I met once a week, and we always went to the gym first.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the gym, we worked out with weights, we took a walk, and by the time we got to bed, we were ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is partly appreciating each other's physicality
mm-hmm.
and appreciating our own. And at our age, we need to feel good about our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And when we know we are doing everything we can to keep our bodies strong and healthy,
mm-hmm.
it's a message to our brains, to our hearts, that we can accept our own bodies and each other's
mm-hmm.
too.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, we have to be free of wrinkles or sags
no.
or any of that kind of stuff. It just means the best that we can be at the age we are.
Yeah, I have women who come to me when during my fitness talks or sometimes as fitness clients, and they'll wave their arm at me, and the bottom of the arm keeps waving after the hand stops, and they'll say, how can I get rid of this? And I'll say, well, we're aging, so our skin's going to be looser. If you build up your triceps enough, you can fill it out, but wouldn't it be easier to just concentrate on other things?
Yes, right. So
because who's looking at triceps?
Right.
Really,
especially if you've got love in your eyes, honey. Nobody's
going
to be.
If you've got love in your eyes and lust in your heart, do
that's
you really
true.
Say, oh, but
that
her,
so
the bottom
true.
Of her arms wiggle?
All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I just wrote a piece that was rather light and breezy considering what I usually write, but it was the message of what he's not going to say when he sees you naked for the
uh-huh.
first time.
Yes.
And one of those is, you looked younger in clothes. No, what he's going to say is, wow, did I get lucky? This
that's
is going to be
so
wonderful.
True. That
Isn't
is
that
so true.
True.
Absolutely.
Man's point of view?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So staying fit and active assists in maintaining a vibrant sex life, particularly for us seniors. That's right, right?
Yes, that's right. Well, it does things like what you would expect. If your heart is stronger, then you have more stamina.
Right.
If your muscles are stronger, you can get in positions that otherwise would make you give up too soon.
Right.
And since we need to be in positions for a long time, likely, then let's have strong arms if we're going to be on top. Let's
that's
have
right.
strong thighs. Let's have a strong
right.
back.
Right. Yeah, and I'll bet that there are exercises that one can practice and that will tone particular muscles that would be very important for a good, vibrant sex life.
Oh, there absolutely are. And in fact, let me refer you to a book we haven't even mentioned.
Oh, cool.
My book, the Anytime, Anywhere Exercise Book,
uh-huh.
which is exercises that take from a few seconds to a couple of minutes.
Uh-huh.
They can fit into your life, whatever else you're doing, whatever time you have or don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And among those are specific exercises that will strengthen your thighs or strengthen your back or strengthen your arms specifically for sex.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of demonstrating some of those the very first time I was ever on television. It was really fun.
You go.
Yeah, I was fully dressed, but I was showing how to do some of these exercises.
Excellent. I love it.
There was a TV show in New York City that unfortunately is off the air now,
oh.
but boy, was that an interesting introduction to being on television.
So quickly before, in the little time that we have left, I want to talk a little bit about sex toys because we mentioned it before, I think it was last week, when we were talking about you're doing reviews of sex toys from a senior perspective, which I think is absolutely brilliant. What should a conscientious senior consumer look for in good sex toys?
Well, of course, I'm going to say go to nakedatourage.com.
Good, good, good,
good.
For
the label sex toys and another label vibrator reviews at the
right
in the right-hand column if you scroll down the labels. And you'll see specific toys I've reviewed and what I think of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we look for is that they are of good quality. And
mm-hmm.
people sometimes say, how come most of the sex toys you recommend are from $75 to $150? Because they're quality. Because
right. oh,
the
God.
Money goes into not only materials, but research and development,
that's
too.
That's right. And innovation and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And these are toys that fit our bodies. They're not dildos.
And they're going to last.
And they're going to last, and they're of medical grade plastic or silicone, which
right.
means they are not going to fall apart. They're not going to overheat
mm-hmm.
because we need something that we can keep on for 20, 30 minutes,
that's
right?
Right.
So we don't want something that's going to burn or explode.
Mm-hmm.
And also that that feels good
mm-hmm.
to our bodies,
mm-hmm.
that we're not going to feel like we've been mauled or shredded before
right.
we've gotten where we're trying to get.
Oh, that is so true. How brilliant. Thank you very much for that.
Oh,
I really
well,
appreciate
it. I love doing it.
I know
your job.
the Dr. Dick review crew does the same thing. It's a free sex toys. Yay! Of course, yes. You know, as I'm sure that you and I both know, that you have to walk through lots of manure before you find the pony.
And since I am told that we're giving you the sex toy on the condition you give us an honest review,
yeah,
you'll see some that are not positive.
Oh, absolutely.
There's one too that I couldn't get open to put the batteries in.
Oh,
I mean, that's
yes
something I don't think of.
Right.
And so I even have a photograph of me using a jar opener to try to open the damn thing.
Well, I love it. Good for you.
I know. And so here I am with a jar opener, because as seniors, that's how we get things open that
that's
are hard
right
to open.
That's right.
And there are also others that are perfectly wonderful, and I do heartily endorse them, but you can't tell by feel what button you're hitting,
yes,
and you may be
yes
hitting the off when you mean to hit the one more level up, please.
Yes, right. How cool. Good for
and
you.
And so we just have to laugh about that part. And, of
right
course, we have to use lubricant. So
yeah,
this whole thing is covered with lubricant and maybe skittering out of our hands as well. So all of this kind of thing, and it's fine that it's funny, because if you can't laugh at sex at our age, when
right
can you?
Exactly, exactly. Good, good, good. I'm going to ask you two more questions.
Laugh with us, not at us.
I'm going to ask you two more questions before we conclude, and those questions are, who are your inspirations and who are your sexual heroes, if any?
Well, one of those is the same. Well, okay. I will say one of my inspirations is the poet Maya Angelou.
Oh, good for you.
I adore her. I've read all her books. I've listened. I love that deep voice
yes
of hers.
Oh, my
if
God.
You ever get
whiskey
a chance
voice.
To hear,
love
oh,
it
boy. And she has lived her life out loud her
mm-hmm
entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my inspirations in the sexuality field is Betty Dodson, bless
oh
her.
Oh, yes.
She just turned
a saint.
One.
Saint Betty.
Oh, Saint Betty is right. She just turned 81, and she is as outspoken as ever.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege, I teach line dancing, and I was talking to my line dance class about Betty Dodson, and I was so surprised that many of the people had not heard of her. They were younger.
Yes,
I'm saying, wait a minute. We don't outgrow Betty Dodson, a whole new generation.
Pioneer, an absolute pioneer.
Absolute pioneer that as far as learning about sex, talking about it, discovering our own sexuality and sharing that information, oh, she's brilliant and wonderful.
I totally agree. And with that, my dear, our time is up, and I'm so, so delighted that you've taken so much of your precious time to spend with us and enrich us and delight us and make us laugh. So thank
and
you very much
at
for that.
You.
Alrighty. So one more time, can you give us your website addresses and walk us around, and where can we buy your books?
Thank you for the question. Website, JoanPrice.com, blog NakedAtOurAge.com, and that is all about sex and aging. The book that is available now as we're recording this is Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60, and there are links from both my website and my blog for that,
and that'll be on mine too. Good, good, good,
good, good, good. And then the new book, Naked at Our Age, talking out loud about senior sex, if you would email me, joan@joanprice.com, I'll put you on my list where your email address will not be shared or spammed or anything bad, but I will let you know when the book is out.
Good. Thank you. Outstanding. It's been such a pleasure, and I know that we'll be talking again, hopefully, you know, in the spring when your new book is available.
Wonderful. You're the best, Dr. Dick.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. Be okay. Well.
Bye.
Bye.
What a great show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
You're not fit enough to go home alone.
Yeah, many people tell me that. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself. or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my monthly ever-so-popular sex toy awareness feature. You'll find a link to that amazing resource in the category section in the sidebar of my site. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site.
Now please, sit down and don't move till I come back.
Alrighty then, I love when you get all forceful like that. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messaging. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me at drdick@drdicksexadvice.com. So until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out.